Shabbat shalom, everybody. Today's portion is Vayishlach. It marks a turning point in the history of not only the Jewish people, but the history of the world. This is the point where we go away from being known as Yaakov and Esav, and we become being known as Yisrael and Edom. Okay? Yisrael. Edom. Edom is Hagoyim. Edom is everybody who is in Israel. Right? It's the nations. Okay, you hear the term Goyim used perhaps in a derogatory way before, and it's not condescending sometimes. Yeah, unfortunately, but yeah. When we look at Edom, that's used in a bad way, a good bit. Because Edom represents anti-Semitism. Right? Anti-Semitism, for the most part, isn't us. Sometimes it is. I mean, you get people like Bernie Sanders. Unfortunately, yes, we have a long history of Jewish self-hatred. But Edom, representing anti-Semitism, is everybody else. Now, you can look at a map of the ancient world and point to Saudi Arabia, perhaps Iran. That's Edom. But that's not really what Edom represents. Edom does represent everybody that ain't us. So if you're Gentile and you're not born of Israel, okay, but through faith, you're attached to the Commonwealth of Israel. Edom doesn't really mean you, unless you're anti-Semitic, then Edom definitely means you. Okay, and again, we've got a history of people who have faith in Yeshua the Messiah. An absolute hatred of Jews. Right? Martin Luther and John Calvin, who are greats in the world of Protestant Christianity, were absolutely vile in their blatant anti-Semitism. Constantine. Didn't like the Jewish people. Origen, John Chrysostom, all of the early church guys, Augustine, Justin Martyr, all of these guys had a contempt and a hatred for the Jewish people. And guess what? They're Edom. They are Edom. Okay? Who is not Edom? In the face of Edom? Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, if you don't know anything about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you should. He is one of the great Christian leaders of all time and stood up to Nazi Germany and was hung for it. He was killed. He's one of the martyrs we honor and should honor. Okay? He was not Edom. He was not Esav. Very famous story that's relayed again by Beryl Wine. During the Holocaust, a Jewish child was with other children from a Jewish orphanage are being thrown into the back of a truck. And the child looks at the Nazi officer and says, "I'm Yaakov and you're Esav." And even though you're going to kill me, I'd rather be Yaakov. And so all of this begins with this Torah portion. All of this begins with this Torah portion. Not because Esav had never been called Edom before. We know from chapters earlier that he's referred to, that Esav is referred to as Edom. But because here, in this place in the Torah, Yaakov becomes Israel. And from then on, he'll be known as Israel. Now you have to look at this and understand what a name is. Right? Because certainly, in the Torah and in the Tanakh, Yaakov continues to be called Yaakov. Sometimes he's called Israel. So this clearly doesn't mean that he'll never ever again be called Yaakov, that he'll always be called Israel. That's not what it means. And from that, we can take an understanding of what a name is. Right? And a name is an essence of a person and who they are. It's not who you call them. It's not an address. Right? You know, this is Tom. Okay? And I can call him Tom. Okay? And that's what I used to call him, but his name is the essence of who Tom is, and included in that essence is he's Messianic Jewish. He's a member of Congregation Eidat HaDerech. This is what his name is. It's the essence of who he is, rather than just a title somebody gives him. And all of that happens here. So Yaakov sends his entourage over the Yabok River. And he's alone. He's alone. And yet, a man comes and wrestles with him. Now, how could a man come and wrestle with him if he's alone? Right? So he's not alone, but he's alone. Okay? And this person contends with him, but it's an odd word, ve'avek. And he contends with him. So Rashi and the sages, they contend with this problem of this word and come up with several different explanations. But none of the explanations actually have to do with a physical wrestling match. Yet we know it was a physical wrestling match, amongst other things. How do we know this? Well, at the end of the story, this being dislocates his hip. Ouch. That's something in time and space. That's something very physical. And he limps after that. And in some stories, he's healed. But he limps after that. This is physical. This is very, very down to earth, time and space, real. You know? Thank God I've never had my hip dislocated. But I'm sure that it hurts a lot. Now, I've had every finger and every toe dislocated because that's martial arts. That's what happens. And I did that for 35 years. And that all hurt. So if a toe hurts being dislocated, I'm sure a hip is like huge. So that keeps us tied into the physical universe. and the word vayavek, and he contended with, he wrestled something, suggests something outside of time and space. So we've got all of it. All of it. And again, we have the idea that was brought with Yaakov in the earlier Torah portion about Hamakom, that place that's tied with time and space and tied outside of time and space. And in Yaakov, we have this, the unity of the two, the coming together of the heavens and the earth. And what happens with this coming together of the heavens and the earth? His name, his essence, who he is changed. You know, he was Yaakov, just Yaakov. Like Harry Potter, can't be me. I'm just Harry. And Yaakov is just Yaakov, but no, he's not just Yaakov anymore. Now, he's Yisrael. Yisrael is one of those words that you can do so much with in the Hebrew language. It's so massively full of meaning. And we forget. My Hebrew name is Yisrael. What is this? Yisrael, he who contended with God. He who contended with God. Yashar El. He who takes the straight path of God. Eidat HaDerech. We're the congregation of the path, of the way. Which way? HaDerech HaYashar, the straight way. Yisrael, the straight way of God. And many, many, many other constructs you could pull out of this name. But most of all, it is the children of Yisrael who we are today. Either we attach ourselves to the children of Israel or we are direct descendants of the children of Israel. That's who we are today. The Messiah of the world came to the world through the children of Israel. Why? Because God said so. God said he was going to come to the world through Israel. Through the children of Israel. That's why we're here today. Why the children of Israel? We're not better than everybody else. We are not better than Edom. We are not better than Edom. We're not greater than Edom. We are not more numerous than Edom, certainly. We are simply chosen. And as Tevye said, once in a while, couldn't you choose somebody else? Because we are chosen, we go through strife. We have been through torture for the sake of the world. And indeed, it is because of the essence of this name and the essence of who we are that Mashiach, that the Messiah of Israel, is Israel. And so all of the things we have gone through history. Yeshua the Messiah went through himself. And everywhere you could point in the Bible and say, see, this is what happened to Israel, you can point and say, this is what happened to our Messiah. You could say, see, this prophecy is about Israel, and every single time you could say, this prophecy is about Messiah. Yeshua. All of this is focused in this one instant in the Torah portion. All of it comes together to this one precise moment in history where a man who is contending with Yaakov. Who contends with Yaakov? Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav. It's Esav. But we know it's not Esav because Esav was on the other side of the river. So the Chazal teach us this is the spirit of Esav. So it's an angel with the spirit of Esav. Is it? Of course it is. Of course it is. Doesn't have to be one answer. Get that, you know, stop thinking Christian. There's many answers. This is one of them. It's the spirit of Esav, and here Yaakov is contending with him, as Yaakov and Esav have been contending with each other since they were in the womb. And here they're contending again. And then at the end of it, Yaakov says, I'm going to call this place Peniel. Or grammatically, you could call it Penuel, depending on the grammar. Same thing. Peniel. Because I have seen God face to face and lived. God. Face to face and lived. So here we got the spirit of Esav, we got a man, and we got the spirit of God. And which one's right? Or we have God. Which one's right? All three. This isn't an either or game. This is to give us fullness of understanding. This is to fill our hearts and to fill our brains. So he wrestles God as a man. What's God as a man? Nefesh Elohim. It's Mashiach. Is it Yeshua? Sure. Is it the spirit of Esav? Yes. And what does this teach us? That Mashiach will come out of Edom. Is Mashiach in Edom right now? Yeah. In a big way. And much of Edom is doing everything they possibly can to take the Jewishness out of the Jewish Messiah. Seems crazy. But this is Edom. This is what Edom does. And Yeshua the Messiah will come out of this. When the fullness of Edom comes to faith in Yeshua. Then what will happen? Then the Jewish people, as a nation, Yisrael, will come to faith in Yeshua. All Israel will be saved. Right? So we can sit back and say it's Edom's fault. And we're right. All things in God's timing, right? And this too will happen. Until then, Edom is Edom. They will come to faith in the Jewish Messiah as they will. And our generation, really for the first time in history, since the disciples of Yeshua, is seeing the Jewishness of the Jewish Messiah and coming out of Edom is Edom. And we're blessed to be in this time period. Even though we've got a lot of bad stuff to look forward to. But at the end of the day, Israel is Israel. Israel is Israel. and whether you're born of Israel or attach yourself to Israel. That's why we're here. So be of good cheer. Shabbat shalom. So we're looking in Matthew chapter 15. Yep, Matthew, it's the same Mattathias, Matthew, same name. So we're starting in verse 21. Yeshua left that place and went off to the region of Tsor and Sidon. And a woman from Canaan who was living there came to him pleading, "Sir, have pity on me, son of David. My daughter is cruelly held under the power of demons." But Yeshua did not say a word to her. Then his Talmidim came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She is following us and keeps pestering us with her crying." And he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, fell at his feet, and said, "Sir, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's food and toss it to the pet dogs." She said, "That is true, sir, but even dogs eat the leftovers that fall from the master's table." Then Yeshua answered her, "Lady, you are a person of great faith. Let your desire be granted." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. Now, this is a very difficult portion in the Besorah. But it is hugely instructive in understanding Israel and Edom. So a woman of Edom, of Esav, of Seir, however you want to pronounce it. Her daughter's possessed by demons. Dibukim. And comes to him, makes her way through to him, can guarantee he's not all standing by himself. Making her way through to him through the disciples and their disciples, and asks Yeshua to heal her daughter. And Yeshua's initial response is, "I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Okay? Now, there's a lot of ways to look at this. One of them I want to point out to everybody, because the Hebrew roots people conveniently forget this. Now he's looking at all of the Jewish people around him, the disciples. He's right there among them. And she's not Jewish. And he rejects helping her by saying that he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, meaning they are Israel, not some Ephraimite thing. It's the Jewish people. They are Israel. And he says, "I came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." These guys, the disciples and the Jewish people. "I did not come for Edom." Why is this? And she presses him further, and he says, "It's not right to take the children's food and toss it to their pet dogs." Now that's a rebuke. But she keeps after it. She shows tremendous faith in Yeshua, in the ability to heal her daughter from the demons. She keeps after him, and he relents and lets her daughter be healed. But it's in spite of the fact that Yeshua came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That the lost sheep of the house of Israel are what Yeshua considers his children. And he compares everybody else to the dogs. And the woman who wants her child healed actually agrees with the analogy. And says, even so. Even so. Table scraps. Why is this? Does Yeshua hate the world? No. So why is this? Why is this? Right? Now, we know Yeshua loves the world. So loved the world. That he gave his only and unique son. Right? So that's not the answer. How does salvation come to the world? And it's not through Yeshua directly. It's through Israel. Edom is saved through Israel. Because the nature of Yaakov and his children was changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Salvation for Edom comes through Israel. And that's Yeshua's point. It's not the other way around. It's not that Edom, through faith in Yeshua, can make Israel right. It's not that Edom comes and teaches Israel how to do it. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Israel teaches Edom how to do it. And guess what? Edom doesn't want to see that. Edom doesn't want to learn. You think God didn't know this? Of course he knew this. You think God didn't know that Constantine would do everything in his power to take all of Judaism and all of Judaic thought out of faith in Yeshua? Of course he did. You think God didn't know about the Council of Nicaea, about the Council of Antioch, where even keeping Passover and the Sabbath was called a heresy, declared a heresy? It's in 341. You think God didn't see that? You think God didn't see the rise of the Hebrew Roots movement? Where they said, look, Christianity has Hebrew roots. They have the roots in Judaism. But the Jews, they got it all wrong. It's the ultimate in replacement theology, where the role of the Jewish people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, is taken over by more correct Christians. Right? So they can show the Jewish people how it's supposed to be done. Right? You don't do tzitzis this way. That's all that the Jewish, the rabbis, they don't know what they're doing. No, you could tie them to your belt loops. That's better. Now, Siddur, all of the prayers, the entire prayer service that Israel has had, that order of service that has come down to us from temple times. Oh, no. The rabbis made all of that up. They're all wrong. You know, they didn't believe in Mashiach, so there's nothing that they said that ever had. But this isn't true. And the scripture tells us. Yeshua came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, including those sages that we're talking about. That's why there's that whole book in the New Testament of how synagogue services were all wrong, that the Jews were doing it all wrong. Whoops. It's not there. It's not there. The Jews, the Pharisees, the way they did the temple services, that was all wrong. Nope, that's not in there either. Oh, the way they had that for keeping kosher. The rabbis made all of that up. Yeah, it says don't eat pork and don't eat shellfish. Right? But the rest, the rabbis just made it up. Right? Mixing milk and meat. Rabbis made that up. That's not in there. Right? That you don't eat the meat around the hip socket. That rabbis made that up. You know? That you have to do something special, take the blood out of the meat. The rabbis all made that up. Is that what Yeshua said? No. Yeshua said, came to fulfill Torah, not abolish it. Until heavens and earth pass away, not one letter or dot will go away from the law. For I tell you, whoever does these, the least of these, and teaches others to do so, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, will be brought to the earth through the Jewish people. And faith will come through the Jewish people. And Yeshua says so. And there will be some who show enormous faith among the Gentiles. Show enormous faith that get this, and they will be granted favor. That means half of you that are in here today, that's half of you that are in here today. The other half are in, with me, but we're supposed to be together, and that's what the latter parts of the New Testament talk about, one new man. That doesn't mean the Jews become Christian. What it does mean is that Jews show the way and believers in Yeshua come join. They show the great faith. And in this way, the Messiah will come out of Edom and be Messiah to Israel before God. Shabbat Shalom.